The approval process continues to grind along for the Jordan Cove Liquefied Natural Gas Terminal on the Oregon coast and the long pipeline running to it. The project was rejected by the federal government once, then resurrected when President Trump took office. Its opponents have made their wishes known for as long as the project has been proposed, with rallies and media presentations and more. A recent piece in the media revealed that LNG opposition groups are monitored by law enforcement agencies, including the FBI. The piece in The Guardian detailed the monitoring and got some reactions, which we will get here as well. Two guests with us from the anti-LNG crowd. Holly Mills is with Southern Oregon Rising Tide. Thank you for joining us, Holly.
Thank you.
Allie Rosenbluth is with us as well, community organizer with Rogue Climate. Allie, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for inviting us on.
So take us back in time. I'll start with you, Allie. How long have your organizations worked to shut down Jordan Cove and or deny Jordan Cove and the pipeline project?
Yeah, so Rogue Climate has been around for about 6 years now. And since our organization was started, we've been working to stop Jordan Cove. But there have been community members throughout Southern Oregon and Northern California who have been working to stop this project for over 15 years now. And every year, it's really exciting because we see a growing opposition, people more and more excited about stopping this project, which is just really great to see here in Southern Oregon.
Holly Mills, how long has Southern Oregon Rising Tide been in the fight?
We jumped in on this about 5 years ago, and we are also really inspired by the mounting and continuing opposition. It has just been so amazing to see the expansion of people's understanding about this issue and their commitment to stop this.
Have you ever, any of you, counted up the numbers of rallies and field trips and demonstrations and other actions that you've taken?
We haven't, but we know it's been a ton. But we do know in the last year, over 100,000 comments have been submitted in opposition to this project. And the state of Oregon actually responded to those by denying a necessary Clean Water Act permit for the project, which Pembina cannot move forward without. We also saw the Jackson County Commissioner send in comments to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission listing all of their concerns about this project, as well as the state of Oregon. So there's been a lot of events and rallies and community getting together around this project for over a decade. I think it might be nearly impossible to count how many there have actually been.
Yeah, a couple things worth explaining here. You mentioned over a decade. So the fact is that the original plan for Jordan Cove was as an import terminal.
Yeah.
That was withdrawn because when the abundance of natural gas was revealed through the fracking boom, the people who were behind the original project decided we can better sell this stuff overseas. So the idea is to pipe the stuff to the Coos Bay area, get it liquefied, put on tankers, sold overseas. It did fail once to get its FERC paperwork in order, and then was resurrected basically when the Trump administration took power. Now, you mentioned Pembina. Pembina is the company now that bought
Veresen,
yeah. Which was the company that was trying to get the whole project in the first place. Mm-hmm. Okay, so a couple things to unfold there. Have you had much contact with law enforcement over the 6 years, 5 years you've been involved with protesting LNG?
Very little. You know, there at rallies and hearings, there are always the requisite law enforcement for just public safety. But as organizations and people working in opposition to this project, there has been very little interaction.
And we have seen at rallies and public hearings an increase number of police and law enforcement at these events. But it's never been anything that's caused any trouble thus far.
All right, so the rallies have been just rallies, demonstrations. They've never been, you know, angry people getting in each other's faces. It's not like last weekend in Portland, for example.
No, not at all.
All right, and I should point out, too, the police did a good job of keeping people separated last weekend in Portland, too. So in that context, then, talk about your reactions when you saw the article in The Guardian about being monitored. Allie Rosenbluth?
Yeah, so first of all, definitely encourage everybody to take a look at that Guardian article and the article that OPB responded with that goes in a little bit deeper about this surveillance that we're seeing on the pipeline campaign. And, you know, there's really no need for this type of surveillance to be happening to people who oppose this project. Everything is out in the open that we're doing opposing Jordan Cove LNG. Second, I think we can all agree that a Canadian fossil fuel corporation shouldn't be able to buy local law enforcement to do their bidding, to protect LNG export terminal and pipeline that doesn't even have permission to be built yet. And third, it's letting us know that they're taking our opposition seriously and that what we're doing is working, and that we need to continue doing it. And they're intimidated by how vast this growing movement in this region is to stop this project. And, you know, over the last 15 years, again, people have been turning out to these events, been sending comments, again, over 100,000 comments in the last year opposing this project. And right now there's actually an opportunity with the state of Oregon to send more public comments asking them to deny the Coastal Zone Management Act permit, which is another permit like the Clean Water Act permit that was denied by the state that could stop this project. So you can check out how to send comments at rogueclimate.org.
The 100,000 comments you mentioned, is this on just the water quality permit, or is this scattered around a number of different places that allowed public comment?
Yeah, this is, there are about 50,000 comments that were submitted on multiple permits. So there was the Clean Water Act permit, which we know the state of Oregon denied. There was the removal fill permit, which we're going to hear from the Department of State Lands, Oregon Department of State Lands, in September about. Over 3,000 people in Southern Oregon showed up to hearings to voice their opposition to that project, to that permit. And then there was also the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission public comment period that just closed a few weeks ago, that we saw, again, a mass turnout of Oregonians telling the government, this is not a project that we want to see. You know, we don't want to see our neighbors be stripped of their land from eminent domain. We don't want to see our beloved rivers in Southern Oregon, you know, jeopardized. We don't want to see the jobs on the coast in fishing and crabbing hurt. We want a community that can transition to clean energy, not one that's going to be used by a Canadian fossil fuel corporation to export fracked gas overseas.
On that one particular point, I mean, would it matter if it was an American fossil fuel corporation? You would have the same opposition, I would presume.
Yeah, it would have the same impacts to our communities. But, you know, there's a lot of legal implications for this being a fossil fuel corporation from out of the state. I think that there's a lot of questions around the legality of the thousands of dollars Pembina has put into elections, local and state elections in Oregon, and also a question of a company, you know, a private company buying a whole division in the Coos County Sheriff's Department. There's a lot of legal questions around that, and what we're hearing from legal experts is that this is not okay, and that this is likely illegal. You know, last week, Representative Peter DeFazio actually sent a letter to the U.S. Attorney General asking for a legal justification of why all of this was happening. You know, a lot of people are very concerned, and that's why we need to keep fighting this project harder and harder until it's stopped for good.
Holly Rosenbluth is with Rogue Climate. Holly Mills is with Southern Oregon Rising Tide. We're talking about law enforcement scrutiny of their and other anti-LNG groups. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. By a division of the Coos County Sheriff's Office. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so Pembina has actually given money to the Coos County Sheriff Department to actually have a division that's called the LNG division to protect the property of Pembina. And this is really concerning that a private corporation that doesn't even have the permits to build this project is paying who are supposed to be public servants serving our community to protect something that our community doesn't want and that doesn't even have permission from the government to move forward.
So, having heard from Holly Mills about your thoughts about the scrutiny,
we are really glad that this information in this article has come out in public, because it exposes Pembina and the Jordan Cove Energy Project as the bullies that they are, trying to force something into our communities that is vastly unpopular and unwanted. Pembina is really struggling right now. Not only do they face the unprecedented opposition from all of us across Southwest Oregon, but they've spent millions of dollars to flood us with TV, radio, and mail advertisements. As Allie mentioned, they have dumped a ton of money into local communities, nonprofits, and tried to buy the support of candidates for public office.
Well, they sprinkled quite a few grants, I noticed, to nonprofit groups and things like that around the region.
Yes, exactly. So we're really glad that more and more information is coming out about their nefarious tactics that they are trying to use against all of us. And further, we think it is extremely inappropriate that we've talked about the monitoring, but the group that's doing the monitoring is a task force which includes representatives from Pembina, along with local law enforcement from the Coos County Sheriff's Department, from the Jackson County Sheriff's Department, other sheriff's departments across Southwest Oregon. It has representatives from the Oregon Department of Justice, as well as from the Forest Service and the BLM, and law enforcement from Portland, and more.
This is the Southwestern Oregon Joint Task Force.
Exactly, the Southwest Oregon Joint Task Force. So we just think it's extremely inappropriate that Pembina is sitting on a task force with law enforcement and other agencies to monitor the opposition to their own.
Given the stakes here, we're talking billions of dollars at stake for the company. Is there any particular surprise from your group or any others that the scrutiny was there?
We're not that surprised because there has been a trend across the continent recently of police and corporations working closely together to try and suppress communities who are standing up for themselves against fossil fuel corporation incursions on their lands and rights. It isn't working. Pembina is being denied their permits and they can't find investors for their project. And our communities continue to be more united than ever against the Jordan Cove pipeline.
Well, grab your headphones. I have a phone call for you from Boris in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Holly Mills at Southern Oregon Rising Tide and Allie Rosenbluth from Rogue Climate. Hi, Boris.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. You know, it's bad enough that they're spying on Americans doing legal things. That's un-American, especially by a Canadian company. But worse, it's a waste of time. What are they going to find? Rallies, marches, letters to the editor, listening into this call, I'm sure they are. So what's next? Infiltration of the movement by agent provocateurs, trying to create the violence where it doesn't exist. Better yet, they should be spying on the agency plan for violence towards unwilling sellers whose property is being taken by eminent domain.
All right. Thanks for the thoughts, Boris. Appreciate that response from you, Holly.
Sure. Yeah, you raise a really great concern that a lot of people across our region are very worried about what's going to happen if the company tries to seize their property through eminent domain. Tribes are concerned about what's going to happen to their ancestral lands if this pipeline comes through. And you make a really great point that is violence waged against our communities. And right now, Kate Brown and the state of Oregon have all the information that they need in front of them due to the 100,000 comments that have come in, due to all of the documented opposition and all of the incredible information gathering that has happened by state agencies in this permitting process. So they have all the information they need to protect us and our communities from Pembina and from the Jordan Cove pipeline, and they can shut this project down for good, and that's what needs to happen. So we also are encouraging people to call into the governor's office and let her know your thoughts on that.
Boris spoke of suspicions that there'll be infiltration of the groups. Is there any indication that you've got people in your groups that might be law enforcement people or informing law enforcement people?
We organize in a very open and welcoming way, kind of to counter any worry about that problem. We're not doing anything underground or secretive, and so that actually is not really an issue for us, and that's part of why that we organize in such an open and transparent way to welcome everyone and make sure there's really nothing to hide.
Which ends up being, I would think, a major point here, that even if it is scrutiny based on stuff that is available and in front of the public. I mean, things that you can find on social media without having to become a member of a closed group or anything like that. I mean, all the stuff that you guys do is pretty much out in front of the public, isn't it, Allie Rosenbluth?
Yeah, that's exactly true. And the thing is here is that, you know, our Governor Kate Brown and the state agencies should be working with our communities to stop this project, not to monitor people in Southern Oregon who are fighting for their communities. So, like Holly said, the governor has all the information and all the power that she needs to stop this project, and we really need her to put her foot down and say that, you know, what Pembina is doing is not fair, not legal, and not the Oregon way, and that you know, she's going to stand with us, stand with our communities, and stop this project for good.
You've said Kate Brown's name probably half a dozen times now. Are you calling her as often as you're mentioning it here on the broadcast?
Yeah.
Her ears must be ringing by now.
It's really critical that, you know, people who are passionate about this project continue to call Governor Kate Brown, you know, with the federal government about to make their decision on Jordan Cove. It's really important that she has a clear stance on this project and that she stands up for Oregon's right to choose whether or not this project is right for our state, which, you know, the DEQ, Department of Environmental Quality, has already said a resounding no with over 200 pages of all the ways that this project would harm our waterways, and in doing that, harm our local economies and jobs and tourism and local and fishing and crabbing.
We're hearing from some no LNG groups here on the Jefferson Exchange about scrutiny by law enforcement of their groups. No LNG, of course, means that they're opposed to the Jordan Cove gas export terminal proposed for North Bend and the 230-mile pipeline proposed to run to it. It is still in the permitting process with several steps left to go. You can join the conversation on the Exchange at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. John in Ashland asks, where does Governor Brown stand on the LNG pipeline? Would the state stand to gain an LNG revenue stream through the proposed cap and trade legislation?
Yeah, so right now, Governor Brown is neutral on this project, despite, you know, hearing from community members for as long as she's been a governor about their opposition to this project. You know, the state of Oregon has the responsibility to, you know, really look at this project critically and see whether or not it complies with the laws that we have to protect our communities, to protect our environment. And, you know, already her agencies have said that's not true. And, you know, Governor Kate Brown should be standing with her agencies and saying no to this project. So, yeah, again, we're encouraging folks to call Governor Brown and tell her that you oppose this project. Ask her to do the same and also ask her to, you know, withdraw any state resources and participation in the task force that is monitoring our communities right now. You know, that is likely illegal, and there's no need for Oregon, the state of Oregon, and some of their agencies to be monitoring people like us who are just speaking out because they know that this project is going to harm, you know, nearly 500 waterways, going to take land from our neighbors, and, you know, going to create a new fire hazard in our community and become the largest source of climate pollution in the state of Oregon.
So the nub of all this gets down to that this is a fossil fuel project. If it were not a fossil fuel project, would you feel the same way?
Well, I think, you know, we have to look at each project at what it is, right? And we see this project, you know, for so many reasons, is a harm to our communities. It's, you know, it's a fossil fuel project that will contribute to climate change, which we're already seeing the impacts of today. But also it's a project that, you know, will, no matter what happens, will take eminent domain from our neighbors in Southern Oregon, that will put an explosive gas pipeline through Southern Oregon's most fire-prone forests, that will, you know, potentially contaminate the Rogue River with drilling fluids. There's so many reasons why this project is opposed, and that's why people from all over the political spectrum in our communities oppose this project and have been coming out year after year after year to tell the state of Oregon to stop Jordan Cove for good.
Now, as far as the law enforcement scrutiny goes, you've already indicated your displeasure with the sharing of information with Pembina, but the Guardian article indicates that the sharing also appears to include Mark Feifel, the CEO of the political consultancy Off the Record Strategies. Do you feel like a line has been crossed there, Holly?
Well, Mark Feifel is a pretty sketchy individual. If people don't know who he is, he worked with the George W. Bush administration on basically creating the communications campaign to try to sell America on the misguided war in Iraq. He also designed the communications that the state of North Dakota tried to use to justify assaulting water protectors at Standing Rock. So we think it's pretty suspect that he is involved in this and think that he has no business to be involved in Southern Oregon's business.
And, you know, this is just another tactic that Pembina is using to try to silence our communities from speaking out against this project, you know, along with all their glossy mailers and the money that they've thrown. And the, you know, they're using tactics like the threat of eminent domain, you know, they're paying like high-paid PR firms and lobbyists in Salem and Washington, D.C. to sell this project. They're doing a lot of things that, you know, just aren't playing by the rules. And, you know, it's critical for us to continue to see all these things and see all of these things as part of each other.
Have you had any contact with the law enforcement agencies? Have you talked to the Coos County Sheriff's Office since this article in The Guardian appeared, indicating there was scrutiny? Either of your groups contacted them directly?
No, we have been speaking with potential organizations that are really concerned about this project, like the ACLU of Oregon.
And Civil Liberties Defense Center both mm-hmm. weighed in saying it's not kosher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So mostly we've been figuring out with them, you know, what they're thinking of how to protect Oregonians from monitoring like this in the future and our communities right now.
Just a couple seconds left. Holly Mills, do you worry that some people who support your point of view might opt out, might choose to throttle back a little bit on their campaign activities because they don't want to be the subject of scrutiny?
Well, we are not worried about that because, as I said before, we organize in a very open way and we try to make it really easy for people to join us and to lift up the voices and actions of people who oppose this across the region. So people in this movement with us are building really strong relationships with one another. As Allie mentioned, that includes people from across the political spectrum. And we think that the best way that we can protect our communities from this kind of monitoring and surveillance is by continuing our efforts and stopping this pipeline once and for all before it ever gets permits. So we are not going to let this isolate us from each other or quell the resistance to Jordan Cove's bully tactics.
All right. So I'm hearing no change then.
No change. We're strongest against this repression when we work together and keep building close community. So we are not going to back down.
Holly Mills from Southern Oregon Rising Tide, Allie Rosenbluth from Rogue Climate. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you so much for having us.